Today is Thursday, September 3rd. Thank you for turning to World Radio to help start your day. Good morning. I'm Myrna Brown.
And I'm Megan Basham. Coming next on The World and Everything in It, the Hope Awards for Effective Compassion. Each year, World recognizes a handful of nonprofit ministries on the ground working to mend broken lives. Those ministries are nominated by World readers and listeners, and each one has to fit a specific set of criteria. First, the ministry has to offer challenging help. Can't just give handouts. Second, the help has to be personal, so not a cookie-cutter approach. Finally, the ministry has to have a spiritual component.
Now, out of the hundreds of nominees you've submitted, we've narrowed the field to five winners for 2020. You'll hear about those ministries over the next couple weeks. Each will receive at least some prize money. And the organization that receives the $10,000 grand prize, well, it's up to you. Voting opens later this month.
Now, World reporter Anna Johansson takes us to our first Hope Awards ministry, an organization that helps refugees find their footing.
I'm walking around an apartment complex in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's really hot, so not many people are out and about, okay, except for right. Providence. She's 18.
What is that thing?
It's a microphone.
Hello?
If you ask her how many years she's lived here, she says 1,000. She actually came here with her family about 6 or 7 years ago. A refugee resettlement agency connected them with this apartment complex when they fled the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
We have people from 30 countries.
Michelle Suffrage started working with refugees here in 2007.
We have people who have been persecuted for their race, for their ethnicity, for their religion.
8 years later, Suffrage officially launched Refugee Hope Partners. The ministry's goal is to serve refugee families by providing education opportunities, job resources, and by building relationships.
We have a number of Nepali families. We have a lot of Rohingya Muslims, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan. They've come through Jordan, Iran, Turkey, Egypt.
Usually the families are fleeing some kind of catastrophe. They've crossed dozens of borders, stayed in refugee camps, filled out applications, been vetted by the United Nations, and finally landed here, in a culture they don't know, with a language they don't understand. They're looking for a friendly face. This cluster of buildings isn't a government-owned facility. It's just an average apartment complex, a couple of units per building, a common playground, and a central community center. But about 90% of the families living here are refugees. The local resettlement agencies know it's a good spot, so they send families this direction.
It's in a city center. There's jobs in walking distance. It's on a bus line. And it has big apartments that allow larger families.
The families get some help from the resettlement agencies, but after about 3 months, they're on their own.
We've just become a gap filler through the years of, you know, we've created programs that have benefited the refugees.
So Lisa, what about this one? All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Tell me, what do I add up?
Education is an important part of Refugee Hope Partners. A lot of the kids have learning gaps, so Suffrage organized an after-school program. It meets in the community center, a small, square building in the middle of the apartment complex. This is a group of 12 and 13-year-olds. They're learning math with Mary Mayerhofer.
Well, since all the areas were the same, do you think the perimeters are going to be the same too?
There are six students in the class today. They sit at little desks, all spaced out from each other because of coronavirus restrictions. Mayerhofer is a regular volunteer. She comes and helps students with their homework after school, and she teaches summer classes.
I wanted to help students that don't have an understanding for math, because I like to teach basics and then from there build onto it.
The students also have a language barrier, so Mayerhofer says word problems are especially tough.
When you can't understand the language, you have to break it down piece by piece, and it's the things that you think, surely they understand that, but they don't, you know, like they put a marker on a trail. They're like, what's a marker?
Because of that, Mayerhofer does a lot of language teaching, too. But she loves how rewarding it is.
You can see when they get it. It's like, yay.
Okay, that's all we got for today.
All right, say thank you, Miss Mary.
We got it.
Miss Mary. All right. Bye, Randella.
Goodbye.
See you on Wednesday.
also works with parents, providing English classes and getting them connected with job resources. Suffrage knows a lot of local business owners.
And so like Krispy Kreme, they've hired a lot of Nepali people. And so they'll have really good success with this group. And they'll say,
the ministry emphasizes personal responsibility for all the families. Suffrage used to organize a back-to-school giveaway, collecting donations from local churches, and then giving the supplies to the families.
You know, a lot of these families have been in camps where trucks come in and there's stuff on the truck and people rush. And we just saw how that was negative in the community.
So they switched it to a back-to-school sale instead.
So the purchase might be $1 or $2, but everyone pays something. It gives the kids the joy of seeing their parents provide, and it gives the parents the dignity of providing for their children.
Suffrage wants to empower the families to do it themselves instead of just taking a handout. But the material needs aren't the most important piece. Suffrage wants to provide opportunities for the families to grow spiritually, too.
You know, we want to point people to the gospel. You know, we don't have an equation of if 98% of people proclaim Christ here that have come from all of these places, then that would be a success. But we would want 100% of the people to know what the gospel is and have heard the gospel in the time that they're here.
All of the kids are invited to weekly volunteer-led Bible studies.
And I'm always amazed at how many people who are but kids that aren't from Christian families, even Muslim families, their parents will allow them to come. And if they don't, then we're like, that's fine, we'll see you at homework help on Monday.
The families will stay in this apartment complex for a little while, but they eventually move on to find better jobs, better housing. Suffrage doesn't always know what happens to them, but she hopes the time they spent here will have a lasting impact no matter where in the world they end up. She tells the story of one Muslim family that lived here for about 4 years. They participated in Bible studies and after-school programs and ESL classes, and none of them ever changed their religious beliefs. They eventually moved to Maine, and Suffrage went to visit them recently.
You know, they welcomed me in, had dinner, we sat, continued just like we had before, and there's a relationship there that I feel like God cultivated, you know.
They know where she stands and what she believes.
Cultivating that ground for wherever they go next. And I know that God is going to provide someone there in that next space for them.
Reporting for World, I'm Anna Johansson in Raleigh, North Carolina.